Praise the Lord, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service on June the 11th, 2014. Got a very nice Wednesday, early evening, late afternoon, and God is truly merciful for His kindness and watchful care and His protection throughout the first part of this week. So it's good to be back with you all, and welcome to those that are here and to those that are listening to the recording and to those that are on the phone. And we appreciate you all choosing to be with us at this time. Our opening song is entitled Praise to the Lord. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID1933.htm. So praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join ye in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who, O all things so wondrously reigneth. Shieldeth thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with His love He befriend thee. Amen, dear ones. Spend time thinking and pondering on the goodness of the Lord, the many and wonderful blessings that He has showered upon you throughout your lifetime, those that you see and those that you don't see. And it's all because of His love for you. Don't you just love Him back, dear ones? Truly, this world would be miserable and hopeless, despairing, if it wasn't for the Lord. So praise Him, dear ones. For He is indeed thy health and salvation. I ask you to please bow your heads and your knees for opening prayer to tonight's service. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we indeed extol thy name and give praises to thee for thy goodness, for thy love, and for the many and wonderful blessings you've bestowed upon each heart, upon all of thy people, all of your sons and daughters, and even upon the wicked, so that they might know and understand your love for them and respond with grateful hearts. Father, we give you full and complete control of tonight's meeting. We pray that thy presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be abiding guests, and indeed open our understanding and comprehension to behold wondrous things out of thy word of inspiration. And we thank you so much for doing so. Father, we pray for thy continued blessings upon this small home church, upon each of the attending listeners and regulars and guests and members and visitors. And indeed, Father, bless the efforts put forth to edify and to build up all of these precious souls in the most holy faith as it is in Jesus. Please multiply our efforts at being this beacon on a hill in our particular area and wherever the internet is able to reach out to, that indeed the light of truth can shine a little brighter in the hearts of people, can extend a little farther throughout the earth, so that many more precious souls can come into the saving knowledge of truth and find the Savior before it's too late. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And let us go right into our lesson article of study. We're reading from the Review and Herald article, which is entitled God's Love for Sinners. And last time we left off looking at and examining the parable of the lost sheep and how Christ was willing to sacrifice everything in order to come down and to seek this one dark, rebellious world out of all of the other worlds of his unfallen creation in order to try and find us and to bring us back. And the parable leaves off at the point that the Lord, the shepherd, has found the lost, brings him back, and then there's great rejoicing because the one that was thought to be dead was found and brought home. And the Father himself joys over each one of the rescued individuals with singing. And that, of course, fills all heaven and just brings joy to the heavenly angels who are already expressing their gratitude at another lost individual turning about and becoming saved by coming back home. And where we left off last time, the paragraph begins, "Are you who have this example before you?" And that's where we begin tonight. So are you who have this example before you cooperating with him who is seeking to save the lost? Are you co-laborers with Christ? Can you not for his sake endure suffering, sacrifice, and trial? There is opportunity for doing good to the souls of the youth and the erring. If you see one whose words or attitude show that he is separated from God, do not blame him. It is not your work to condemn him, but to come close to his side to give him help. So what counsel do we see here indicating to us how we should respond to those whose attitude is very poor and gruff and perhaps very cynical or hateful? Should we blame them for being in such a negative attitude? Well, this counsel says no, because it's not our work to condemn him or her. But instead, it's our work to come close to him or her to try and help them. Where do we get this particular example? It's from God himself. The attitude of Adam and Eve was rebellious. They distrusted God. They believed that God didn't really love them, but that he was withholding from them something for their good because he was deceptive, selfish. He wasn't seeking their best interests. So they had a negative attitude about God, and they rebelled against him. But what did God do? Yes, there had to be justice because of their disobedience. They broke a command of God. But God came even closer to Adam and Eve through the Lord God Michael, who became Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus down to this rebellious world of rebellious people, negative attitudes, to seek and to save them, to come close to them. So if someone is gruff in nature, or perhaps they've been friendly in the past, but now all of a sudden they're very distant or hurtful or say mean things to you or, you know, just completely negative, their attitude is bad, should we respond in like manner? Should we be negative back to them or perhaps separate ourselves from them? No. That's not the example of our Lord. But we're instead to come closer to them. Of course, in wisdom, in tact, and God will give us wisdom to know exactly how to approach different individuals. But we're to find ways to come close to their side and try to help them. Try to figure out or find out from them what the problem is. But if we just become standoffish because they're in a negative mood, that's not really helping them. That's not trying to understand why they're that way. So if we see someone whose words or attitudes show that he's separated from God, do not blame him. Do not condemn him. But instead come close to him in trying to help. Continuing. Consider the humility of Christ, his meekness and lowliness, and work as he worked, with a heart full of sanctified tenderness. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. How were the rebellious Israelites drawn back to the Lord? It was through loving kindness. And that's how we're to respond to those who have a negative attitude that reveals that they are far away from the Lord. They're separated from understanding the true character of the Lord. We're to try and bring them back to the Lord through loving kindness. That's the example that the Lord has given us. And if we're followers of His, that is how we are going to respond in like manner to those that show that they're far from the Lord. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones? Any questions? Please feel free. Continuing. How think ye, the Savior said, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So as we were going over last time how out of all of God's created universe, out of all of the worlds that have intelligent beings on them that God has created, this one Earth was the only rebellious planet out of them all. And so because Christ came down to seek and to save this one which had gone astray, and he has found it, then he's rejoicing over the fact that there's going to be redeemed off of this wicked world, and he's rejoicing more of us than of the 99 other worlds which went not astray. We were also talking about earlier that the angels who are in heaven, who have never fallen, don't understand the work of grace within the being of angels because they've never fallen. But because human beings have fallen, then God has come closer to us in granting us his unmerited favor of grace and strength to allow us to become saved. He's drawn us away from the world back to himself through grace. The angels don't understand that. And just in the fact of the plan of salvation, in God coming close to us, in fact, so close that he has adopted human nature, just in that fact, we are closer to God than even the angels can be, than even the other unfallen intelligent beings can ever be. That's just how close God has come to each one of us in order to save us, to reveal his love for us. And that love works a transformation within us and draws us back to him. Well, dear ones, if someone that we know has a very negative outlook on life, instead of just passing them by and going on the other side of the road, we should instead come close to them in seeking to draw them away from that negativity to the Lord, to where true lasting change and transformation can be found. And if we're the followers of God, if we're truly following his example, then that is exactly what we will do. So many times, Christians wear their nerves on the outside of their bodies like clothing. And when someone gets a little bit too close and brushes against them, it irritates the nerves, and thus the person reacts in a very unchristian way. We need to put on the robe of Christ's righteousness instead of having our nerves exposed for people to brush against. Let us put our nerves deep within us and allow Christ's robe of righteousness to clothe us. And thus, when someone brushes against us, we're not going to react in a negative way. We're instead going to react in a more Christ-like manner. And may God help each one of us to know exactly how to respond to any given situation, especially in negative situations, so that we don't misrepresent our Lord, but instead, with wisdom and tact, be able to reveal Christ to others, and thus seek with loving kindness to draw them to the Lord. So we have a position with God that's even closer than the angels can know, than the unfallen worlds can understand. They are curious to look into this plan of salvation to see what it's all about. But they haven't experienced it because they've never fallen. we have. And you can imagine the questions that they're going to have for us if we endure unto the end and are saved. The questions they're going to have for us when we're finally able to visit them, to visit these other worlds. They're going to ask us what it's like. And it'd be our joy to explain it to them. And that's going to be part of our mission, dear ones. Part of the things that we will be doing through ceaseless ages is giving our living testimony and witness of God's love for us. Because there's going to be a lot of curious beings wanting to know. And there was a comment in the room, it says, "We who have fallen have experienced the death grip of sin. We have suffered unspeakable misery, which angels have not, and which also unfallen beings have not experienced. And to know and understand the grace of God working within us, transformation, breaking this grip of sin and selfishness away from us and enabling us to have the grace, the strength, and divine power to resist it. It's truly only through Christ that any of us can be saved. It's because Christ united his divinity with humanity that enables each of us to be able to be saved. That's a mystery. The incarnation of the divine Lord God Michael in human flesh is a mystery. It's the mystery of godliness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The connecting link between God and man. It's a mystery. But with loving kindness was it done to draw us back from our rebellion and apostasy into union with him. Even so, it's not the will of our Father which is in heaven that any one of his creation should perish. And that's why he's doing everything that he possibly can through loving kindness to bring us back. Continuing. "My brethren and sisters, let this instruction make your hearts tender and help you to understand your duty towards those who need your help. In every place, angels of God are watching to see what kind of spirit is exercised in behalf of souls." So how are we treating those who are outside of God? How are we treating one another? What kind of spirit are we of? Angels are watching to see exactly how we respond to others, to our family members, our relatives, our friends, strangers, our neighbors, our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith, those who are not of our faith. And it's all being noted down in our record books. Continuing, "If the lost sheep is not brought back to the fold, it wanders until it perishes." So what happens to that lost sheep that was within the fold at one time, but then through one reason or another, it's now gone from the fold? What happens to that sheep if it's not brought back? It wanders until it perishes. In other words, it can't find its way back. It's lost. And the only way it's going to be brought back and saved is through self-sacrificing personal efforts to go out and seek it until it's found. So if the lost sheep is not brought back to the fold, it will perish. Continuing. There is many a poor soul who is full of distress and agony, a lost, straying sheep. His mind is beclouded. He cannot find God, yet he has an intense longing desire for pardon and peace. Many souls go down to ruin for want of a hand stretched out to save. These erring ones may appear hard and reckless, but if they had had the advantages that others have had, they might have revealed far more nobility of soul and a greater talent for usefulness. Angels pity these wandering ones. Angels weep while human eyes are dry and human hearts are closed to pity. I fear that many times our spiritual eyesight understanding are very dim and poor because we don't always keep the bigger picture in our minds. And the bigger picture is that souls that are outside of Christ are going to be lost forever unless they're found. Angels understand everything. They see the big picture. They see souls that are lost. But God has made it a purpose for humanity to reach out to humanity. So here, angels see that if these lost individuals over here had had the same advantages of knowing the truth that we do, but yet there's no one bringing them the truth. There's no one personally taking the time to reach out to them and seeking to help them. And they're going to be lost. Angels pity these wandering souls, and they weep over them, while we just don't get the big picture. We just are focused upon our small little world, and we don't take the big world in and understand more of what's going on behind the scenes. There may be some people that we meet on the street, going to the store or going to our work, that if we would have gave a track or spoke a kind word to them, it would have made the biggest difference in their lives. But because we kept silent, we kept to ourselves, we didn't want to be bothered, we were fearful of what might happen, that might be the last day that they're alive. Dear ones, may God help each one of us, and I'm speaking for myself as well. May God help each one of us to understand more of what God would have us do in seeking to save those that are around us. May He open our hearts to have love for perishing souls. May He fill us with divine wisdom and compassion and pity for those that are outside of the faith. May He increase our spiritual eyesight so that we truly have a desire to seek and to save the lost. We are indeed in the very last days of this earth's history. There is probation closing on souls all around us. Their cup is full. May God help us to help them. and hopefully to extend their period of probation until they become saved. This is where intercessory prayer is a must. It moves the hand of God for others. And those are the type of prayers that God loves to answer. We're helpless. Souls are dying in other countries that we can't possibly reach out to. But yet, through intercessory prayer, we can move the hand of God to seek and to save through all of His myriad of different avenues and different workers to bring back to the fold those individuals in other countries, those individuals in our own cities, neighborhoods, our own counties or states. And God will indeed do so.
I was just thinking, I remember someone saying that when someone else cannot ask God to come into their life because they don't know God, if we ask God to come into their life, it gives Him permission, so to speak, to cause something to happen in their life, perhaps a word dropped by us in God's favor, to reach that person, and then He can turn that person around. He's the one they've been looking for, which we know they are. So think about those that you couldn't say the word, but you can ask God to interfere in their life to cause them to recognize that He is the one they're looking for. That's all I have to say about that.
Amen, dear sister. I agree with you that intercessory prayer gives God permission to work in our behalf for those that we can't possibly reach ourselves, or to change the hearts of our loved ones that we haven't been able to find the right words to change or to reach into their hearts and bring about change. And I tell you, a mother's prayer for her children is one of the most powerful prayers that can be uttered by human beings, because their heart is drawn out in such a way for their precious child that comes extremely close to the type of love that's being drawn out of the heart of God for His children. And God loves to answer those prayers. And I'm so very grateful to my mother for praying for me many, many nights and weeks and years, in fact. And praise God that He heard these precious prayers and brought me back. And for all the mothers out there listening, God will hear your prayers. And He takes your prayers as permission to work changes in the hearts of your children or loved ones or friends or family members. The Bible tells us that the fervent prayer of the righteous are heard by God, and great things can be accomplished through those prayers. It accomplishes much. So don't become discouraged if your prayers for others aren't seemingly heard because no change is quick to come about. Don't give up. Don't become wearied. Continue praying. Continue giving God permission to work in your behalf for others. And great things will be done in righteousness at the proper time. Are there any other thoughts or comments, any questions, any testimonies that you'd like to give, witnessing to others and the results you may have seen? Please feel free to do so, dear ones.
I just want to say that a lot of times salvation takes a lifetime, and we may never see it while we're alive. But when we pray to God for someone's salvation, and God can move mountains, our prayers can move mountains because He listens. Don't give up, because that person may go until their very last breath, and then, like the thief on the cross, recognize that God is, that Jesus is the Son of God, and say, "Remember me." So just keep that person in prayer and never give up on them.
Amen, dear sister. And it's that perseverance that can be hard to keep up and not lose. Because human nature, you know, we want things now. When we pray to God for something, we want it the next day or perhaps the next moment. But God sees that it's not always best to answer it immediately. And when we pray to God to increase our faith, a lot of times, and I'd say most of the times, we don't wake up the next morning with our faith increased, but we find that there's different things, a lot of them unexpected things occurring in our life that's forcing us to manifest faith in God to help us get us through that time. So here we're waiting for God to send a present down, and when we open it, our faith is increased. But God heard our prayer and answered it in the best way to increase our faith, and that is by putting us into situations that we, of our own accord, would not want to be in because they're not very pleasant situations. But it was those very trials, those very tribulations that we went through that forced us to manifest faith in God to get us through them. And thus, through those situations, our faith was increased. Our prayer was answered by God. So we need to persevere in our prayers, especially in our prayers for others. And we also need the spiritual discernment to see when God has heard and answered our prayers so that we can thank Him from a grateful heart for doing so. We truly need our spiritual eyesight expanded, and I'm speaking for myself as well. We need it expanded so that we can see more and take in more of what's actually occurring around us, so that we can be more grateful to God. We can be more understanding towards others. We can be more of a pitying spirit to others that need our help and tenderness, instead of being cooped up within a very tightly knit, closed bubble that doesn't allow us to see beyond our own needs and necessities. And God will increase our spiritual eyesight if we will ask Him to. He will give us a burden for souls that are perishing. He will give us prickings in our heart to pray for different individuals, or perhaps pray for different countries. And when we have these thoughts, or when we have these, I don't want to say intuition, I'm searching for that word, when we have these insights, I guess, let us not just brush them away. Impressions, thank you. Let us not just brush these away, but let us understand that God may have given us these impressions right at that point in time to pray for a certain individual or for a certain country. because it was at that point in time that they needed prayer. And if we didn't give that prayer, then God didn't have the permission to go and work in their behalf and to bring about a victory. So may God help us in that regard. There's a question in the room. It says, the state of the dead is the same of spiritualism. And is that the last pillar of our faith? The state of the dead as the world sees it, or as Babylon sees it, or as most of the Christian doctrines see it, is that when you die, you either go to heaven or hell. That is spiritualism, because that is teaching life after death. Or in other words, you really don't die, but your spirit continues to live on. Whereas the scripture says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die, not live forever. So the immortality of the soul is spiritualism. And it started with Lucifer teaching Adam and Eve that they could go ahead and break God's commandment and not suffer any consequences, but continue to live forever. But the true state of the dead is that when you die, you rest in the grave until the resurrection, either to eternal life because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and remain true to Him, and He will give you everlasting life, or you resurrect in the second resurrection to where you will receive the punishment for all of your sins, which will be the lake of fire. And once you have fulfilled the amount of punishment for your sins, then you will cease to exist. And that particular biblical understanding of the state of the dead is the last pillar of our faith. So you're correct in that regard. So that type of eternal death, where you cease to exist, you don't go on living for eternity, you have died and no longer exist. God is trying to save as many of His sons and daughters as He possibly can from having to suffer that fate. And He's seeking to reach out to each one of us through love, because He sees that love is the only power that can bring about true lasting change in hard hearts, in the hearts of humanity. And God wants to use you and me to spread His love to other hard hearts so that they can become softened, subdued, and pliable for God to work with and to change and to reform into a vessel of honor and preciousness. So when someone comes to us with a negative attitude, grumpy, irritable, let us not respond in like manner, and let us not avoid them as far as we can. But let us come close to them. Let us pray for help to know what to say or what actions to perform that can break down that irritability, and let them see that we truly have an interest for their happiness, for them as a person. And the Lord will help us to be able to do so. And this is my prayer. Well, why don't we go ahead and open it up for a season of prayer? Anyone that would like to pray, please feel free to do so. And I'll go ahead and start, and any others can follow after. So let us go ahead and bow our heads. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Thy loving kindness. Thank You for Your patience and long-suffering towards me and towards every other one of your sons and daughters. Thank you so much for not casting us off and we have kicked against the prickings of thy spirit. Thank you so much for wooing us through thy love and tenderness to come back home. Please continue to draw us away from the world, away from sin, away from selfishness, and help us to have an increased spiritual eyesight to take in more of what's occurring around us and to be more concerned about individuals around us whose probation may be closing. Give us the wisdom, give us the discernment and the tact to know what words to say or what actions to perform or what intercessory prayers to pray to thee in pleading for those around us, those outside in other places of the world. And thank you, Father, for hearing and answering each one of our prayers according to thy perfect will. Help us to truly be your living witnesses in these last days. Plant within us a greater love for perishing souls, a greater earnestness to seek to save the lost. And help us to begin with our own family members, our own friends and loved ones, in our own neighborhoods. And bless our efforts in reaching out to these precious souls so that they too can come into a saving knowledge of the truth. They can truly find salvation in the Savior. Please continue to be with each member, with each visitor, with each regular attending guest in this home church. Continue to bring more visitors in to be curious and want to know and see for themselves. Continue to draw us ever closer in the truth, ever closer to the Savior and closer to one another, that indeed we might fulfill your will, accomplish your purpose, and be that shining beacon light on the hill that radiates the light and glory from the face of our Savior to others. We thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer, for being with us this evening. And please continue to be so. And thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, amen. Well, I want to thank one and all for coming this evening. Pray that God will go with each one, that he'll continue to work in your life. And that your prayers will continue to be heard and answered by the Lord in his timing and in his marvelous way, especially in intercessory prayers being heard and answered and precious souls brought to the Lord before their probation closes. So, dear ones, have a good night, or if you're on the other side of the world, have a blessed day. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. So may God bless.